Well, we're in our final three-part lesson on course one of Change the World School of Prayer. This is lesson seven you should be in. We're going to talk about the prayer warriors' marching orders. When you hear the phrase marching orders, what does that bring to your mind? War? What else? Huh? Yeah, time to get ready to get with it and put it to action now. Again, the verse we have for the whole study here is Psalm 65:2. As a great reminder, O thou that hearest prayer. God is a prayer-hearing God. Amen. It says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. And I hope that you have been coming to him and spending time with him, praising him, thanking him, seeking him for guidance. We'll see that a little bit of that tonight. Part one here gets into our study here of this three-parter here. I have the next ones to hand out for you as we'll go into course two on the journey of power. We'll hand those out in the next week or so. And let me just remind you of a couple of things. It doesn't tie in with Wednesday nights, but I've got more of the spiritual gifts handed in. We're getting more gifts, spiritual gifts, handed in now than we have people not. So we did just have a few of them, but now we're getting more of them. But if you haven't handed yours in, please, if you could, if you bring it this Sunday, I don't know what you, should be plenty of time. If you get it to me Sunday so I can get it into a book so I can have everybody's name down there and get that finished up there. And also, if you have not signed up and you want to sign up for the Fishers of Men, we still have a few studies left here, so there's plenty of them here, so you can go through it, take the test, memorize the scripture there. If you want to. Yeah, you can make a copy and take it, so that'll work out fine. So these are up here if you want it. Remember, if you get it all done, you pay $10, you get $5 back. And that's not even really that what matters. It's that you have hidden the scripture, you've memorized it, you're able to quote Romans 6:23, Romans 3:23 to your family, your friends, and have the word of God to give that to them. You know, there's what we call the power of a testimony. Your testimony is very, very powerful, how you came to know Christ as Savior. And nobody can usually argue with that. Nobody could argue with the guy who had the legion. Nobody could argue with the woman at the well. Nobody could argue with, you know, different people who had gotten converted. But I'll tell you what, when you're talking with somebody and if you share a verse of Scripture, you need to remember that Scripture is a living seed. And when you say share Scripture with somebody and it goes in the ear gate, God files that inside them. They have that verse in there. It doesn't leave. It doesn't go away. It's incorruptible, the Bible says. And when you walk away, the Spirit of God can stay around and bring that verse of Scripture up to their heart, cause them to dwell on it, and maybe later say, hey, I got a question for you. You shared this verse to me, and can you explain it or something? And so very important to have Scripture. Somebody had just sent me a thing, which was interesting also, about might have been even Don, on how it seems like as we're in the last days, there's greater temptations, greater testings and things that are coming to Christians because Satan knows he has but a short time. And I started to think about that, and I thought that's very accurate because I know that I'm getting, and by the way, you might see increased temptation in your Christian walk. Understand that temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. It's when we yield to the temptation. But don't be surprised if you are tempted more as we get closer to the return of Christ. Because he can't steal your soul back, but he sure can. The Bible says they're taken captive by him at his will. And I think there's a lot of Christians that are Christian POWs and prisoners of war to him. And so the best thing you can be doing is to actually taking this course, not just because you're going to be able to be more effective in witnessing, But you'll have scripture, and if you hide his word in your heart, it says that I might not sin against you. So you might, it'll help keep you from yielding to temptation. So tonight we're on part number one. I just give that all out as a little commercial, I guess. We're going to be talking about hearing and obeying God. And there are four premises we'll be looking at in 3 weeks. We'll look at one premise tonight. We'll look at two premises next week, and then the last one on the last lesson. But we're talking about hearing and obeying God. So this is why we're calling this the marching orders, because you've had all of these lessons here where you've heard, and you've gained a lot of insight. And by the way, the Bible makes it really clear, the more that we have knowledge of, the more we will be held accountable to God for, that we have the knowledge, what did we do with it? Now we're going to talk about not just hearing it, but also obeying God. And he gives us four premises here for divine guidance. Divine guidance. Very familiar verse, the foundational verse it starts out with. Most of you might even have this memorized. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. The very first word is trust. Trust in the Lord. And notice it's all capitals. That's Jehovah. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, he says, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So we see clearly that Proverbs is reminding us that our guidance, our divine guidance, is available to us through God's written word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so as we are looking at hearing what God has to say, we need to be obeying. So if God says to you through his word, go left, you can keep going straight, or you can go right, or you can obey what he said and go left. So he's telling us this may be one of the most well-known verses of scripture for Christians here in Proverbs 3, because you have the trust in the Lord with all thy heart on this side. This is what we're to obey. And then he said, but don't lean to your own understanding. That's what we are to obey as well. You have the positive part of hearing and obeying, but you have a negative part, because we have our natural tendency. There's the spirit and the flesh, the spirit and the old man. The old man wants to lean to his own. Is that right? You all have that same problem as I do? We want to go our own way, do our own thing, figure our own way. He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. So it all begins with a trust with all of your heart. So belief has to come from the bottom of your heart. He goes on in this text here in Exodus 33:11. And again, he's using the word Jehovah here. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So here we're seeing the early preparation. Joshua became one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament. Before he was able to become a great leader, he was a wonderful, humble servant. And servant first and foremost to God, thus made him able to come under Moses and be instructed and trained, and later would lead the children of Israel. We have no idea what our daily decisions and activities, as we obey God's word, what they're preparing and leading us to down the road. Because God is always working in our lives. And so a decision, a choice, a misdirection, we go our own way or go his way, all of those are taking us somewhere. So he wants us to make sure that we are understanding that he wants to guide us. He wants to lead us as a shepherd, a good shepherd, a great shepherd, the Bible says. And so we're going to look at some premises on this divine guidance here on this first one, hearing and obeying God. Four premises of divine guidance. Premise number one, as we get into this, I better get caught up here, is divine guidance is the continuing communication of God's daily desire for every believer. divine guidance is the continuing communication of God's daily desire for every believer. When we talk about a premise here, we're talking about God is saying, I'm wanting to present my case to you why I want you to do this. And by the way, God's always doing this for our good. Amen? He wants us to walk in His ways. That's the safe place to be in His will. So here we see that divine guidance is the continuing communication of God's daily desire with every believer. So one of the temptations, as I was making mention, which I think is going to become more intense as Satan sees his time is running short, is that he would try to keep us from daily desire of seeking God's direction for the day, having time in prayer. Moses is spending time with God, and he's speaking to him face to face. Joshua doesn't even want to leave the tabernacle. He wants to spend as much time as he can with God. How about us? It's easy sometimes, and I can only speak for myself, because I'm tempted sometimes just like I wake up, I got my cup of coffee going, I'm doing my reading, I'm listening to Scripture, I'm going over that, I'm looking at my little hymn book, I'm going through the hymns there with that, and then it comes down to taking time to pray, and I bring out the church directory and the world map and other things that I have. And sometimes I am just not in the mood. I'm just being honest. It's like, but I know that if his goal isn't to try to stop me from praying, just delay. Catch it a little bit later. Go do something, you know, go get another cup of coffee. And I have to discipline myself. I have to continue the communication because I don't want to miss that time in the Spirit. The Bible's true. The Spirit indeed is willing. But the flesh isn't interested in spiritual things. It isn't interested in communicating with God. And we still have that old nature here. And so it's very important that we continue communicating, keep going on. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, here a while back, I just wasn't wanting to take time to pray. Not that I wasn't saying I wasn't going to, I just wasn't in the mood right then, which is usually means I need to do it then. And so I had that still small voice kind of just say to me, so I wonder if you don't pray today for your world map, if you miss those countries, what impact will it have not for the cause of Christ? Because if we believe that prayer is all powerful, and by the way, when you're praying for your world map that God would send forth laborers, you're praying His will. That is the only, if I could be wrong, so I'll take that back, but it's one, if not the only prayer request that Jesus gave to us. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. And so I think, Lord, if I don't pray, then I'm not doing your will, praying for these people, and who knows who they would have impacted, and my prayer was what was used to help ignite them, that they might be not feel like doing it either. And so when we pray for these people, it might be what God ignites in them to go out and still do it. You know, one of the hardest things to do is when we would go door knocking. It's one of those things you're like, okay, we need to do it. And then you start going out there and you think, I don't know if I want to do this. But once you get started, it's like, oh, I'm glad I came, you know. And so there will always be that battle. And he's reminding us there's a premise here. You must keep going on. You must endure. Be persistent in this, because the flesh will always have an excuse. So when we talk about divine guidance is the continuing communication of God's daily desire for every believer. The summary here is that God still speaks to people today. God still speaks to people today. He spoke to Moses. He speaks to us. So number one, and by the way, let me ask you before we go there, this is not in your notes, when we talk about that God still speaks to people today, let me just ask you a question. Do you believe that? Number one, God communicates. We're going to look at how God communicates. We'll look at Scripture to back each one of them. Different times, different ways, all right? It's interesting how much he desires to let us know, I'm here to help you. I'm here to guide you. Number one, God communicates audibly. God communicates audibly by way of audio. Has anybody heard God speak to you audibly? Stop. Yeah. Carl? Yeah. God does still speak audibly. And we'll see that as we look at some scripture here, but also in our own lives. Because I want you to notice in the next couple of scriptures here about him speaking audibly, I want you to understand that you'll be looking at an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. Okay? So let's look at the New Testament first. And as he journeyed, this is Saul of Tarsus, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he, Saul, fell to the earth, and look at, and heard. You got to underline that or circle it. And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now watch. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Who is speaking to Saul? Jesus Christ himself. How is he speaking to him? Is it in a vision? Is it in a dream? It is audibly. He is hearing clearly his voice. Arise, he even tells him, arise and go into the city. I want you to see that God is giving divine guidance. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And seeing men, and the men which journeyed unto him stood speechless. Notice what it says. Hearing a what? A voice, but seeing no man. Hearing a voice. I mean, think about that. They're going to make some arrests. They're going to arrest people, beat them, scourge them, whatever they do, and drag them from Damascus back and imprison them until they either recant or even put them to death. Saul has no problem with that. He'd already given the okay for Stephen. This guy was zealous. Which, by the way, that was an incredible gift that Saul had that God was about to use for his self. And here we see that they're going, and all of a sudden, the light shines, he's down on the ground, and this voice, he hears it. Those of us, if we would have been there, we would have heard it as well, but we would have saw no one talking. So here we have this area that God communicates audibly. Look at Exodus 19. Let's jump back to the Old Testament. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. That's the whole purpose. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke. That would have been incredible. Because the Lord, Jehovah, descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when, look at the next thing, the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Clearly, the Bible is showing that God wants to be a part, whether it's an Old Testament or a New Testament saint. His desire is still the same. He wants to give each of us divine guidance and direction. He wants us to trust in Him with all of our heart and not to lean to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we would acknowledge Him. And then it says, He shall direct thy paths. And I like what it says, thy paths, not your path and my path as being the same, but sometimes they differ. There's that general will of God, and there's a specific will of God for each of us. So here we have that God communicates audibly. Number two, God communicates through visions. Through visions. It's interesting when you look up this word vision in the New Testament. It is a Greek word that's known as horaina. And it literally means that which is seen, a sight divinely granted. It was God that gave you that sight. He is allowing you to see. John had a vision on the Isle of Patmos. It was an unveiling. That's why it's called the revelation, the revealing, something that you wouldn't know if it wasn't divinely uncovered. And so here we see that God communicates through vision. Look at Acts 16, verse 6 through 9. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, they're wanting to go plant churches and win people to Christ, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They were planning to go up into Asia, and it doesn't say, it just says that the Holy Spirit forbade them, kept them from going. They were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered or permitted them not. Twice the Holy Spirit stopped them from what they were planning to do. Are you with me? Where they were planning to go. Let me ask you a question. They were wanting to go to Galatia, and Galatia is not a city, it's a region. Then they were going to go to Bithynia. On both occasions, what were they going to do? Horse around? Were they going on vacation? No, they were going to do the will and the work of God. Win people to Christ, baptize them, and start New Testament churches. So it shows you that even if you're wanting to do something that would be biblical, it might not be God's will, listen, at that time. Because later they did go. That's why we have the letter to the Galatians that fell in later, okay? To the churches of Galatia. They went later. So understand, it's not just trusting in the Lord and not leaning to our understanding. You may be thinking, God's wanting us to go do this over here. And if God says, yes, I do, but not now. There's something else that's more pressing. We have to accept that and be sensitive to that. So to make sure Paul understands, it says, because he'd been told twice, no, no. Now, what would you start doing? I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, and he stopped me twice. So what does he do? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia. And what's the last three words? Help us. And help us. They bed down. I'm sure they discussed what was going on because it would be Paul and Luke and maybe a couple others there. They bed down, and as they begin to rest and doze off, God gives Paul. I want you to understand, God gave Paul, the leader, the vision. And then you'll see later that when he shares the vision, they all follow and go with him. Okay? Yep.
And he had a vision.
Correct. Understand what you're correct on that, because here you got a person who could be that they need help over there at that point in time. You're being sensitive to the Lord's will by continuing your communication with God daily will maybe be used to direct you to be an answer to the prayer of someone else's needs. And it was going to be huge because they were going to go right over and hit all through that area there and just church after church after church after church. And so it's not just doing God's will, it's being sensitive that he's leading you to do that now. For instance, I have been in the ministry now for almost 40 years and have pastored four churches. The last one, with Fair Park being the longest of 20 years there. There were times when I was invited from Fair Park to go consider taking a church. It happened on several occasions where they came to me. Once in Kansas, they wanted me. One up in Decatur. Actually, out of all of them that we went to, there was probably about six of them over that 20-year span. And when we went to visit with them, to discuss things with them, because, by the way, if somebody ever says, hey, would you consider coming this way? I never say no. Now, that's different than my wife. My wife says, well, God has us here. Why would you go somewhere else? I said, well, if we would have never left that one, we'd not be here. Correct? And so I'm just saying, so I always have to go because I have to find out from God, is this what you want? And he'll give us peace for it. Out of all, I think like six of them, out of the six ones, there was two in Kansas, one up in Decatur, one in New Hampshire. They wanted us to come back up there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. In each of the cases, both myself and Althea felt peace to take the church. And it was the one in Decatur. I mean, we had complete peace, and yet, look it, we're not in Decatur. God forbade us from doing it, even though we had peace. I'm sure Paul had peace to go to Galatia. I'm sure he had peace to go to Bithynia. But God had to put the brakes on him through the Holy Spirit and then give him a vision to show him where I want you to be. And it may be stay here because of timing again. So there's where that's at. Look what it says in Acts 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord, look what it says, in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And this is, again, dealing with Saul of Tarsus. So not only is God speaking audibly to Saul of Tarsus, he turns to Ananias, who he's going to send Saul of Tarsus to, and he, in a vision, speaks to him. He didn't speak audibly. He spoke through a vision where he spoke not through a vision, but he spoke audibly in the same setting. You know why he does that? Because he's God and he can. That's that simple, folks. Number three. So we have audibly, we have vision, and then we have God communicates through dreams. Dreams. This is a different Greek word. And the word that they have here is onar. It talks about being in a sleeping state in which this occurs. So the difference between dreams and a vision is dreams are always in a sleeping state. How many of y'all ever have dreams? How many of you remember your dreams pretty good? Althea is not one to remember her dreams very often. If she does, she doesn't remember. I remember dreams, and mine are completely detailed. I remember the details of them, and it always amazes her. So a vision can be in the night, perhaps even sleeping, but I think that they're more along the lines like John on the Isle of Patmos. He was ready to worship the Lord, and he heard a voice behind him, and God had given him a vision of what was coming. Peter had a vision. Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, correct. And so it could be in prayer. Peter's vision came by when he was praying. He actually even had a vision for Cornelius had a vision to send the men to go. The angel came and spoke. So we see all these different areas here. And Look what it says here in Matthew 2:13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, I want you to notice here, as we're looking at these verses, these are New Testament verses, and in each of them, whether it's an audible or a vision or a dream, each time it uses the term of whichever one it is, it says saying. So it's being spoken to them, just not face-to-face like Moses in this situation. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, what does he tell Joseph? Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there, watch, until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That's, of course, the birth of Christ. Look at Old Testament now, Job. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed. It was known to Job. It was known that most of these saints understood God's working. Now, when we jump back to the Old Testament, even when we jump into the New Testament, one of the defining factors, because even though it's New Testament and we are New Testament, correct? One advantage we have is that we have the completed Word of God. All right? We have God's complete revelation, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Even these brothers here in the New Testament did not have the completed scriptures yet. That has to be kept in mind.
You got me thinking about when he wakes you up at 3 in the morning and gives you an outline of scripture.
Well, there you go.
And you forget to write it down.
Sometimes when you wake up in the middle of the night, it might just be because you're getting old. And I'm just saying, I'm starting to experience that. But it may be for more than what we think, you know. Number four, God communicates through spiritual gifts. Now, this is a little bit different one here. Now, there are diversities of gifts. I mean, there's a variety of them, but it's the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, how you would carry them out. But it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Y'all know what the word with all is talking about here? He's talking about we've got one Lord, one Spirit. We had all kinds of gifts, all kinds of different ways to use your gifts, all kinds of personalities that go with those gifts. But the gift is given to you, and the gift is given to me to profit not myself, but you guys. And yours is to profit everybody else here. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, but by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So we're talking about divine gifts that God will use through his people to minister and to speak and to direct the saints, other saints. There are, for instance, we have one of the here that we would kind of back away from, because there are things in Scripture, even in the New Testament, we have a tendency to back away because our denominational ties and beliefs don't lean that direction. But there are some that were just during the time of apostolic teaching to confirm that they were apostles. But one of them here is the gift of healing. Now, we have a lot of faith healers today, do we not? I don't know. I'll just leave it there, all right? They are self-proclaimed healers, all right? I do not believe in faith healers. I believe in faith healing. And God gives us, remember, guidance. And how does he do it for us? Not in a vision necessarily, not in a dream, but through his word. James chapter 5. Is there any sick among you? let him call for the elders, and that they will come and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the pray over him, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, okay? If they have sins. Now, when you do those types of things, and by the way, I know fundamental pastors that I know very, very close that do not believe James 5:16. They don't believe that's for today. They're cheating their flock, I'll tell you that. I have witnessed it from women who have not been able to have kids, period, to praying over them, anointing them, and watching God within a 9-month, 1-year period bring their children forth. We have seen people healed from cancers to everything else. What happens is we get caught up in, and I'm not against physicians, but remember there was a woman in Scripture who spent all of her goods on physicians and it made her know none better. But I'm not against physicians because Paul had Luke with him who was a physician who probably helped him with all the scourgings and beatings and stuff. So I'm just saying all of those things come into the picture, but I believe that when you're coming for an area, if you want to seek out God's divine guidance and you're sick, does he want to heal you or does he not? Paul even said, I sought the Lord 3 times. And he said, no, I'm not going to heal you because I want you to have my grace. Why did Paul need the grace of God? Because God had given him so many revelations and visions that he was even caught up to the third heaven. And God knew how even the great apostle still had the old sinful Adamic nature. Correct. And that's what it should happen. Yep. I mean, I'm just saying there is 3 types of sickness, since we're talking about healing here, all right? There's 3 types of sickness. There's a fourth, but let me look at the main 3. There is sickness unto death, which, by the way, if the Lord doesn't come, we're all going to taste that one, all right? There's a sickness unto death. There is also then the sickness unto chastisement. If you read in Corinthians 5, where the guy was in sin, they put him out of the church that he'd be given over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but his soul would be saved. But you get into 2 Corinthians, the guy evidently repented because they received him back. That's the whole purpose of it. So he confessed his sin, and God healed him, okay? The third one is a sickness unto the glory of God. The glory of God was Lazarus. If he's sleeping, he'll be all right. And he goes, okay. God let him die because God wanted to get the glory in that area. And then there's also kind of a sickness because God wants, as he did with Paul, to keep us humble. And by the way, if you feel that you have a sickness and you want the elders come on your request. If any sick among you, let them call for the elders. So you would say, hey, my wife and I have been praying about this. We want the elders to come anoint us and pray over this situation. But you have to have men of faith that believe that God does this. If you don't, stay out. Well, you do. But I'm just saying, if you don't believe in James 5:16, why would you go? Okay? And you saw that. Remember when Jesus had the woman touching on the garment? And then he went and healed Jairus' daughter. Before he healed Jairus' daughter, what did he do? He drove all the people out because of their unbelief. They were laughing at him. She's not dead. She just sleeps. They were mourning. Now they're laughing. He just, get them out. We don't want that here. So those are things. And by the way, so God gives divine healing sometimes in an answer for direction, whether he's going to use it for whatever direction for my life or yours. So there's a variety of things that we get into here. Real quick, next page. We're running out of time. 3 ways God speaks using spiritual gifts. So this one's a little bit different than the other ones. Letter A, he speaks with wisdom. Wisdom. James tells us in that one, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Look what it says underneath it. The right use of knowledge communicated supernaturally. So wisdom is simply taking the word of God and applying it biblically correctly, not misappropriating it. Okay? So wisdom is one of the areas. The next one here is knowledge. Knowledge is supernatural revelation of understanding regarding the situation that you're in. Wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom that you ask for God as and he gives you. Now you take the knowledge that you have of your situation and you try to understand it through God's perspective. And it's all supernatural. Folks, that's why it's so important that you and I remember continuing communication, staying in prayer. There is a reason, listen, there is a reason why the devil tries to get me to miss a day. If it wasn't that important and that powerful and that potent, I don't think he would worry about it. Go ahead and pray. It has no power in it. Somebody has said the weakest saint is more powerful than Satan when they drop to their knees. The power of prayer. And then the last one is discernment. Discernment is a supernatural ability to identify error or impure motives. Peter, they're taking up a collection, remember, and he has wisdom from God. He's a very wise individual. He understands the principles of God's word and how they work and applies them correctly. A situation arises. He has knowledge of the situation that they're taking up a collection for all the new converts that are there after the day of Pentecost and how they're going to dispose of not only the wisdom that how to dispose of the goods to meet the needs of those in need, but also how to receive what's coming in and discerning the purpose why they're giving. Okay? And we have Ananias and Sapphira's story. And they come to give their gift. And here is this man of wisdom who has knowledge of what God's wanting to do, but he also has the third one, discernment. To discern, this doesn't seem right. Why has Satan had you lie to the Holy Ghost? What? They sold their land. Let's say they sold it for $10,000, and they brought $8,000. Was that their freedom to do? They could have sold their land for $10,000 and kept $10,000. They could have sold their land for $10,000 and gave $1,000. They could have sold their land for $10,000 and gave the $10,000. But they came with, I'm just using this as an example. Let's say they sold it for $10,000, they're bringing it, and they're giving it to Paul under the guidelines that they're making it look like that they sold the land for $8,000. If they give the eight, y'all follow what I'm saying? They're trying to make it look like I've given everything. Wrong motive. You lie. I mean, you don't get away with it. You can lie to me. You can lie to your spouse. You cannot lie to God and get away with it. And if the proper leadership's in place, especially in a church setting, and he's a man of wisdom and understands the knowledge of God and has a spirit of discernment, God used him and sent that person out to their funeral that day. And then his wife comes in and he realizes he asked her, trying to give her that opportunity. No, we sold it for this much. We're only giving this much. And they had conspired together. And, man, she dropped right there, folded up right there. Circumstances, number five. Circumstances. God communicates through circumstances. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Wrong direction. He wasn't following Proverbs 3. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us?" for the sea was wrought and tempestuous, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and the sea shall be calm to you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Turn your back on God, go the opposite direction of what his will is, and watch what he'll do in your life to communicate with you. By the way, if you notice, he went down to another place. He went down into the ship. He went down into the sea. Everything, when you make the wrong choice in a willful rebellion, it's always a downward climb. And finally got him on his knees in the belly of a whale. Number six, God communicates through a still, small voice. Through a still, small voice. 1 Kings 19. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. This is Elijah. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice spoke to him. Sometimes God doesn't. God is able to do the spectacular. Probably most of the time, it's just that little quiet voice speaking. Number seven, God communicates through his word. His word. In 2 Peter, if you're taking notes, this is not in your thing. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellence glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him on the mount. That would have been a great place to be that day. And matter of fact, when they were heaven down, God, Jesus told him, don't say this to anybody till after I'm resurrected. And he finally writes it out. Yep. All scripture, it says here, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, it says, for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then look in Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 1, in verse number 1. God, who at sundry times, that word sundry means at various and in different times, and in diverse manners, spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So understand, he uses his word. By the way, it says that he spoke to us by his Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Word of God. He's the living Word. We have the written Word. One in the same. One in the same. So he speaks to us through his word. And that is what we have for tonight. Sorry, I went longer than I was actually even expecting to go. Some things for you to ponder. Ponder ways that you feel God has spoken to you in the past. What do you think most hinders one from hearing God's voice concerning personal divine guidance? Well, with Jonah, just willful disobedience, it can go that far extreme. And then last, on the prayer points, ask God to give you a sensitive heart to be able to hear his still small voice. Be silent for a moment and ask God to speak to you about how you should pray, and then pray what you hear. I went really long today, so I'm going to close in prayer. Yes, ma'am. Huh? Let me see your chart.
Here's the chart. But they're all this, but
You got six.
This one's a six, and this one should be six.
Yeah, I caught that already.
So I think that's what they want us to fill out.
That's...
I think?
I don't have it on my thing. So I will go to my main notes and pull it back out and give it to you next week. Is that what they want, Sarah, you think? So did you already fill it in? Yeah, by the way, that is an error. That should be one. I got six and then six. It should be seven. Don't tell Nancy, all right? She always corrects me on those things.
Two sixes here. That's the problem.
That's what I just said.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So I will get with you and verify that exactly how it is. But we'll close tonight. Sorry. I see that look. And then this is something that you can do at home here on this one here. On part one. Okay. Yeah, do what you want. I'll give you divine guidance. Do what you want.
If you want to wait,
if you want to do what you want, that's okay as long as you do it in pencil, all right? So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Appreciate everybody being out tonight. I got too carried away, I think, tonight. Sorry. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your wanting us to take and begin to put this stuff to use. And Lord, we're just finishing up here in the next couple of weeks, just this first session. And it's time for marching orders for us to get busy in this area, Lord. And we know that there's a battle. We know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And as we talk about all through Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, you closed it out praying always, you said, for all saints. Father, we each need each other's prayer. We don't know how vital that is. And maybe by the grace of God, one day when we're caught up to be with thee, we will see just how much our prayers actually did for each other, kept keeping each other safe or journeys or healings or whatever, but also as we pray around the world, dear Father, may we not be negligent of not fulfilling your one prayer request to us, for us to pray to you to send forth laborers into your harvest. You said it's a great work and there's just few laborers. May we not be some of the ones that are on the sidelines when it comes to praying for the world and evangelism. We just pray you give us all safety heading home tonight now. In Jesus' name, amen.